So testing audio 1, 2, 3. I know it's been a while since last time I've done something like this, but just to let you know, for the record, it's Friday, 15 December of 2023, and it's about 2:14 p.m. There's no one at the office except for Papa. Now I'm sitting on my chair, on my desk. I'm not doing much. Just I just got back from Friday prayer, and the reason I'm doing this because something intrigued me today. As you know, it's been a while since the last time I post, and there's a reason. Because one, either I don't have anything to do, there's nothing for me to talk about, or two, I don't have enough things for me to talk about the things I want to talk about. So that's one of the issue. But now I'm gonna talk about something that intrigued me on my way back. Okay, first of all, let's cut to the chase. I went to Friday prayer, Masjid Negeri, the Blue Mosque. And I went for the free newspaper courtesy of the New Straits Times, which marked for today's publication, which would cost you 2 ringgit, but we got it for free. So NST, with the title of Booster Jabs for High-Risk Groups, report page 5, which is the only one that doesn't really be biased in a way. So what I'm going to talk about is my tendency, my shenanigans of reading newspapers usually from the back, considering I love to read the spot first before anything. So the title, the back page cover for sports, is The Magpies Fly with Clipped Wings, talking about Newcastle's, which is on report page 37. But what really intrigued me is the page 39, back cover, supposed to be "Let's smash the language barrier." So I'm gonna talk. I'm gonna read the bit of the, the abstract. Malaysian athletes will struggle to articulate even if they interviewed in Bahasa Melayu, means Bahasa Malaysia, Mandarin, or Tamil. Not being able or not being fluent in English is not an issue. Sports authorities should help them to improve communications, analytic skills, and self-confidence. Written by Tan Min Wei. This is really something that intrigued me because, one, as you might already know, I'm part of the language study students. So this thing really intrigues me in a way. So here's the thing. In the page cover is the picture of Haikal Nasri and Chong Hun Jian, who responded awkwardly during the post-match interview in English at the Guwahati Masters in India last week, which is it sparks a bit of debate among the badminton fans. So let's skip to the page of this over. So written by none other than Tan Ming Wei. So break the language barrier. Shuttlers need to brush up their communication skill. Yes, true. I would say that. So, let's see why I believe and I actually agree with this one. Considering one, I see a lot of people been arguing about the language proficiency. But if you look back at the statistic, Malaysia is one of the best non-native English-speaking countries, of which we put that in our education syllabus since the very young age of 7, up until we're like 17 years old, and we grow up. Most of us will go to our respective, but if we're talking about mandatory schooling period, we're putting English as a second language seriously. So among other reason why, because one, I'm an English language communication. What I like about this particular topic is the opening itself doesn't really bias about is it in English, but no, actually for me, even though I'm studying in English, but my interest is more towards communication itself. Because when we talk about communication, we talk about many ways to relay the information between two or more parties. So what I'm talking about now here is the fact that we are seeing people having this level of language proficiency, but not the confidence to do so. So because from like my early degree years, people have been asking me, can you help me with this. I want to learn how to present. Do you have like tricks for me to do like presentations and stuff? How to be good at speaking in English? But the issues is they're not that bad. It's just like they don't have the self-esteem to do so. They don't have the confidence to carry forward, to just swing it anyway. For example, there's this one master students from UMK, which is University of Malaysia Kelantan, asked me if I can help him learn English. The thing is, he's a master level. He already know how to read. He already know how to say it, how to listen. He understands those things. But the thing is, he's just afraid of using it because if you know what people always fear, which is being wrong or being maybe a little bit less than expected. But okay, the thing is, okay, when we talk about language in general, okay, when we talk about language in general, we're talking about a tool, yeah, a communication tool. Now, the issue here is not the ability to use the tool, it's the confidence of using it. Because if you never know, if you never tried using it, and you never really practice using it, it's really hard for you to use the tool properly. Because when we're talking about tool, we have the expert levels, 10,000 hours of you in something, and you're not expert. I'm not an expert in English because I haven't been talking in English or ever been using English for 10,000 hours. Just like I study them. But I don't really study English specifically. I study the communication theory in English. I study the things that helps people speak in English better. In fact, these things that I've studied can be applied to any language. Just like, languages, we have the different terms used for each languages, Maybe in this particular language, in English, it's different from what it calls in Malay, but the theory is the same. People learn semantics, people learn pragmatics, people learn syntax, just like how bad the studies is. When we're in our young age of primary schools, what we learn is like to read, to speak, and to write. That's it, to understand. But when we go into our secondary schools, upper or lower, we learn to appreciate the language. In a way, we learn more towards the degree of poetry. We learn towards the degree of writings, creative writings, or even reports in a way, or emails. But those are what we call skills. But when we go to tertiary education, learning English is not about those things anymore. Maybe some of them, but not all of them. And the thing is, my background is like TESOL Foundation, so I supposed to be learning how to teach others, but I believe myself is not really a good teacher in the future. So, but I still learn foundation. So the thing is, the first thing we learn is the basics back then. We literally learn how to read. But not just like read the words, we learn to take out the context from the reading. And then we learn how to write. Not just writing, but we learn formats, we learn about paraphrasing, like how to take other words of others and put it in ours while still giving them proper credits, citations and all. And also we learn how to speak and listen to get the words to understand them as they go. So now I'm trying to say now is we actually learn this throughout our life. Just that how you would use it and utilize it is important. For now, let's go back to the article, Break the Language Barrier by Tan Ming Wei. So I'm not gonna paraphrase it or anything. I'm just like saying it as it is. I'm just gonna quote it as best as I can because it's been a while since I do voiceover. So, for the emerging national man's bear, Chong Hun Jian and Haikal Nasri, their exceptional achievement of clinching back-to-back titles was supposed to be widely celebrated, representing a rare occurrence in Malaysian badminton. However, this triumph was overshadowed by their struggles to communicate effectively during the post-match interview on the court after their well-deserved win at the Guwahati Masters Super 100 last Sunday, becoming a prominent talking point. The 1 minute and 14 seconds video of the post-match interview circulated on social media, revealing the seemingly camera-shy Hong Jian pushing his partner Haika to take the lead in speaking. Caught off guard and initially reluctant, Haikal eventually responded to the TV host's questions. To Haikal's credit, he spoke quite well and his English proficiency was rather satisfactory. I had no doubt that all the audience in the arena, as well as those watching in remote, had no problem understanding him. Would the dynamics have been different if the interview were conducted in Bahasa? Undoubtedly, yes. However, it's crucial to acknowledge that English is an internationally important language. As a Malaysian, I take pride in the fact that most of us can converse in English even with basic fluency. Yet, from a journalist standpoint, I must emphasize that Malaysian athletes often struggle to express themselves effectively. And this might not necessarily be solely attributed to their English language limitation. Now, Tan Min Wei, with 16 years of journalism experience, he mentioned that he had the privilege to interview athletes in both levels, locals and internationals. However, he said he consistent with the finding that the latter are more engaging as they tend to provide more insightful response that allow him to quote them even better, I say, to get more details or what they see about their own performance. But for locals, they tend to just like give basic responders, you know, like, you know, this one is how often do we encounter quotes like, I'll try my best, just fight and nothing to lose. It's pretty common for locals, I would say. But why this thing happens, because if we take a look back at the cover page mentioned about the sports strategy should help them improve communication, analytic skills, and also self-confidence. So let's talk about the first one, which is improve communication. When we talk about communication, we're talking about aspects that allow people to understand. A better communication means a better understanding received from both parties. So, when we talk about communication, there's a lot of ways to improve this communication. For once, my favorite, like currently I'm studying, because one thing, I'm a final year student, and my final year project is regarding language communication theory. You see? Of which is a communication accommodation theory, when in general it's talking about if someone using this method to make others understand, or if others trying to understand them by changing the way they are communicating or understanding. So for example, A to B, which is A as a native and B is a non-native English speakers, A is trying to provide it and trying to be accommodating. So A tried to speak in a bit more simple manner, you know, simpler terms, shorter forms, repeat if they don't understand, to make sure that B understands the context. And the other way around, if B is trying to transform to A, let's say we're talking about English language, is when A is a native English language tourist who came to Malaysia, of which people don't really talk English much because it's just a second language, because we have our own mother language, we have our own mother tongues, we have our main language, the national language is Bahasa Malaysia. Also, we have different other languages for each ethnicity. We have Mandarin, we have Tamil, we have some other different ethnic language and even slangs. We have like over 200 of them. So when that happened, which language should we use to communicate with this foreigners, this tourists, English tourists? So most cases, we gonna change to their language to accommodate them. Is it? Because We want them to understand what it is, to be there to understand what they're trying to give. It's easier for us to change to them, so we don't really have to explain in different languages. So that's a different part of the theory. There's also the third one, of which when A and B change into C, where both of them can understand. This case could be, let's say C is English, A is Malay, and B is, let's say, French. So in this case, A doesn't understand French and B doesn't understand Malay. Both of them understand English. So they change and transition into English language. So both of them can understand. So both of them are accommodating one another. So that's the theory I'm learning and I'm trying to put out. Now, in this case, let's talk about the second point, which is analytic skills. For me, when you understand what you're doing, it's easier for you to give analytics. I just did. I'm trying to put out the idea of everything we do, everything we're trying to commit. There's a level of communication, accommodation theory being put there. So it doesn't matter if, like, we're speaking in English, we're speaking in Bahasa, we're speaking in Mandarin or any other language. We're trying to make sure that the other party understand. It can be from the same language, but from a different accent. For example, maybe we're talking in Malay, but different Malay, you know? Because as we know, Malay is not just it's not just based in Malaysia. There's Malay speakers throughout. All over the world. There's some in Africa, there's some in Indonesia, there's some in Thailand, you know. Just like how we speak might be different in a way. Because this one might speak it like us, but in this country they have like a different, more articulated, trying to force, but not really. Yeah. So we're trying to come up with a proper way to communicate. Like people have been saying, like Bahasa Indonesia and Bahasa Malaysia shared similarity, but not all. So I find myself, my own experience in times communicating with my fellow friends from Indonesia, I try to use their language a bit, and they would try to use mine a bit, so we both can understand the issue. But now, when it comes to understanding ourselves, which is analytic skills, I would say it's really, really different, because I know what I'm doing, so I know what to talk about. But some people, they are just like a natural born talent, where just they just do what they are doing. Sometimes they just like receive notions. For example, you need to do a cross court, something like that, and they're like, okay, for sure, and just do it. And it's hard for them to explain what they're doing because it's just like intuition. They just do it right away. These are really geniuses, you know. Some geniuses in history of the world are misinterpreted, misunderstood in a way. So analytic skills means they probably know what they're doing, just like they don't really know how to convey, try to let you know what they're trying to do. Because for me, I see this issue very much. I see this issue in myself because I'm a bad singer. I don't know how to sing. And people be saying that you need to use your stomach, you know, your tummy, your belly, your air, your voice from there. I cannot do that. My voice came from my throat. That's it. I utter it in my mouth. I change it. I put it deep. Again, like freeze it up, you know. But all this thing happens with my throat muscles, you know, with my trachea, it's on my head, in my head, my mouth, it's not in my stomach. I cannot do belly, you know, not those things. So I don't understand those things. But they keep telling me, that's how you do it, but I still don't understand. But maybe some of you might understand, you know. So if you have the knowledge, understanding, it'll get for you a bit. I don't get it. So That's like self-analytics, when you know what you're doing and trying to explain what you're doing. And the goal of this is to make sure people understand that what you're trying to say. It's quite hard. It can be easy, but yeah, self-analytics can be quiet if you understand more about yourself. And maybe you can explain by looking for a simpler term. Now, moving on to the last part of it. Stay self-confidence. This is really the part that I want to talk about, because all in all, this is my forte. I don't really remember when the last time I've been less self-confident, like low in self-confidence. I think it's during the pandemic, but I'm not really talking about we are communicating. It's just like I have during the pandemic, I develop a certain level of social anxiety, of which I don't really like to be in a public places, even though that's my favorite spot because there's a lot of people that can listen to me if I want to start talking. But the thing is, that's like the only thing, that's like the only time I've been afraid in a way to talk in public. But other than that, I don't really remember times where people ask me to talk and I would refuse because I like talking. So that's my confidence, that's my level of confidence. I love talking. You're saying like or love is understatement. So let's take a look about self-confidence. Self-confidence is very crucial because all those experience, all those times helping people understand, helping people trying to be better at presenting, you know, like people ask me like, hey, how about this? How about this? They're trying to get my honest opinion about their performance of presenting. Because they're trying to record it in English, they're not from an English language background, so they're afraid there might be mistakes trying to do. But the thing is, we're not judging you because on how you're communicating, we're judging you on how well your progress is. I assume for a certain part of different fields of studies, for example, what do you really seek in? You know, in medical science, you seek ways to improve the medical investments, advancement. But it become crucial to communicate with confidence because you're trying to explain why you think it's better to do certain things, because that thing might backfire if you there's if there's miscommunication occurred in any field. Miscommunication is a killer. Can be the worst thing in your life. So, self-confidence is really, I would say, I don't really know how to explain this, but you'll start to gain your self-confidence once you start being carefree. Believe that you got nothing to, not really nothing to lose, like not much to lose if you're like saying it wrong in a way. Because for me, when it comes to language, you need to practice. People are going to say, ah, oh, that's wrong. Don't mind them. Honestly. You can mind, you can take the input, so just like, don't take a heart, let's say. Don't feel that they're trying to make you feel less intelligent than you are. Come on, look at where you are now. You might be like me, sitting on the office doing nothing because it's break time until 2:45, or you might be doing something else. You might be having fun. You might play games online, sort of thing. Or you might be working right now at a very prestigious company, but you're still not having that level of confidence that you're supposed to have. I'm not saying that people have supposed to have certain level of confidence, but when we're talking about talking, when we're talking about communicating, we need to have a certain level of communication. But how to get it? My best advice is to find someone who would accept you, even how bad it can be. And maybe add one more person as an insight, because for me, when it comes to trying to improve yourself, you cannot do it alone or even with just someone. You need to be in a group, a minimum of three. One unbiased opinion, one for your emotional support, you know. Because for me, being in just like two-way communication is really hard. You need to put another one to at least advocate to either one of you to be the middleman, to be the neutral side of say, oh, you're just, can you tone down? And they're like, example, because for me, people have different level of self-esteem. We're trying to build a self-confidence, not break down. So that's how I'm gonna say the best way to gain your confidence. Just talk more. Try to make fun things, you know, try to do fun things. If you like music, try to, this is one thing I really loved doing back then. I tried to translate songs into different languages and also watch movies. Great. I'd say watching movie with the subtitles, but instead of subtitles, try to watch it with a transcript, which means if you're watching English movies, put English translation instead of Malay. Read them as you listen. Try to repeat. It'll be a good practice. Even if you're like, lagging out on the actual sentence, try to finish. Just try to finish the word because you already have your input. Some people have a faster processing power in their brains where they can listen and try to mimic. I do, in a way. So I can mimic some words out in milliseconds. Some people don't. So that's one of practice I would suggest you to do. Watch something with the transcript and try to read the words while listening to the words so you understand what they're saying, even though you don't understand the real meaning. But the thing is, once you start talking about presenting, you need to understand your own words, right? So I believe you already have a certain level of proficiency and understanding. What you don't have is the confidence to finish the words. So now, that's all I can give for this topic particularly. That's a lot. That's a lot longer than I expected. But yeah, it's been a while since the last time I've uploaded, and this is unedited. I just tried to do my best. It's just like impromptu. I think this might be good. A good. This might be a good opportunity for you to look back about the importance of trying to be articulated. Anyway, so now I would say try to grab your copy of New Straits Times for December 15, 2025, if you want to read about the Break the Language Barrier by Tan Ming Wei. The article, I would say I'm very pleased with this article. So I think there's a follow-up article which is NSC to help athletes with media trainings, which is, I believe this is a follow-up for the previous article, which is like at the same page of 39, basically just a flip away from the back cover. So until then, until I find much more interesting thing to talk about and I find the confidence and time to proceed, I guess you have to wait for the next episode. So that's it. The first 6 minutes and I mean it pertama by me. Talk to you later.